Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Clear them out. I got the next 5 hours. Get out.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get it. My guy, Big Zoo-Wop behind the glass. We're going to have some fun tonight. You know we're going to drop beats. You know we're going to talk about everything. And you know we're taking your calls at 877-337-6666. I mean, I have to start off with my Mets. These are my Mets. I've never watched the Mets more than I have in the last 3 years. And if you've been listening, what do I say about the Mets? I say, losers let it happen, winners make it happen. In the beginning of this short baseball season, they let everything happen to them. In the beginning of this short baseball season, they got punked. They couldn't get off the mat. They just kept losing and losing and losing. But you know what? Two things happened that I thought were necessary. Mother Nature stepping in. Mother Nature is a Mets fan. She's like, a little rain never hurt anybody. Let's break up some of these games, losing every day, because losing is contagious. Losing becomes a habit. It felt like they were going to lose every game. I'm listening to The Fan. I'm hosting on The Fan. I'm looking online, and it's LOL Mets, same old Mets. All the jokes write themselves. But you know what? No one can predict baseball, and that's what's great about baseball. You forgot all about Rhys Hoskins, right? You forgot all about Michael Tonkin, right? And that was just last week. We're in week two. It's Thursday, right? Opening day was 2 weeks ago. And here we are, folks. I'm listening to Loogie say, this team's going to be over 500. I'm like, wait, just last week we're saying they would never reach 500 again. The Make It Happen Mets, 877-337-6666. When I was on last night, I said, that rainout helps you. You go from a four-game set where you took the first game, barely by a run, lost the second game, barely by a run. Rain comes. Now you don't have two games. You have a rubber match. It's an early game, a getaway day. Go take it. And that's exactly what they did. The game was over fast. Well, was it? I don't know. They took the lead early, but they kept adding runs. Everybody get right. Everybody get some. It's early in the season. These guys found it.
against their arch rivals. Who else would you rather see them put 16 runs on than the Atlanta Braves, the almighty Atlanta Braves with the best lineup in baseball and the National League MVP? And oh no, look at their pitching. And oh no, they've got Matt Olson and Ozuna and Albies and Michael Harris. Didn't you think Jared Kelnick was going to have a revenge game against the Mets? How many times did I see, oh, he's going to homer against the Mets? I even bet on it. Didn't happen. Right? The big, bad Braves. They got Chris Sale. So what? Look who you faced in this series. Look at the pitchers you faced in this series. Look at the moves that were made in this series. It makes you feel like you still have a season, and you do. So, starting off with applause for the Make It Happen Mets. DJ Stewart, make it happen, bro. Brandon Nimmo, make it happen, bro. Pete Alonso, make it happen. Tyrone Taylor? Tyrone Taylor deserves a round of applause. First off, that catch that he had in the first game where the SNY cameras made it look like Ozuna went deep. Great play. You're here for defense. Show us the glove. But then, did he hit a grand slam? He hit a grand slam in the ninth. Brandon finding Nimmo. Find it, Nimmo. I mean, I'm looking at the game today. I was driving back from Paterson, New Jersey. Shout out to everybody that was out there. And I'm listening on 880. And it was 3-0 after the second inning. And then I get home. I watch the third inning. I'm like, oh, they're piling on. And then, obviously, you know, the Braves fight back a little bit. But, man, never say die. And the game is not over. There's 27 outs. Tack on in the seventh, eighth, ninth. Absolutely damage their bullpen and get right. Get your swings right. Get your confidence right before you come back home. And Steve Cohen pokes his head out, as he should. And he said, long season, everybody, but solid 2-3 in Atlanta. Back home tomorrow with Doc Gooden, number 16 retirement ceremony on Sunday. Plug. See you at City. Maybe it'll be a little different than it was in the beginning with the cold and the wind and the rain, and it just didn't seem like much fun in Queens for the Make It Happen Mets. Man, baseball is great because you have the opportunity every day to erase what happened the day before, the week before, the series before. And I know here in New York, we want everything fast. I know here in New York, it's New York minute, microwave, right now. They got to look like the Yankees right now, or this is a punt season. David Stern sucks. Why do we have a dance crew? You have a season, and you have more than a few guys that are figuring it out. It doesn't all have to be on the shoulders of Francisco Lindor. And it all doesn't have to be on the shoulders of Aaron Judge. I hear a lot of conversation about those two on The Fan today. Aaron Judge, I think, might be hurt, but that's not an excuse. He's in the lineup. He's playing every day. He's got to produce. Again, it's early. But he's not above reproach. I understand you love him. I love him too. He's not beyond us criticizing him, us speaking the facts about him. Watching that game last night, I was disappointed. And honestly, for one of the first times in a long time, I wasn't giddy about him coming to the plate. I actually was like, ah. Twice late in the game, I'm like, this guy's so cold right now. Judge doesn't look like that dominant hitter that strikes fear into the pitcher right now. Judge doesn't look like that guy that it's automatic. If you throw that ball over the plate in the zone, you leave it hanging there at 88, he's going to pluck it out. Judge looks like a guy who's a little off. Judge looks like a guy who's not having good at-bats. I don't know exactly what it is. I'm hearing everybody's take. I hear some people think it's Juan Soto mania has taken over the Yankees and stolen his shine. He's the highest paid player on the team. He's an MVP. He holds the AL home run record. He's not looking at Juan Soto like he's stealing his shine. Or Verdugo, or even young Volpe. And, you know, I spoke last night about Volpe, too. It was too soon to move him, in my opinion, to the leadoff spot. But now there's no turning back. That's your leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. Come on, Anthony. I know you could do it. But the day before, Aaron Boone told us when we look up in 10 years, he'll be at the top of the lineup. Psych your mind. Next day. And I don't know. I just said a couple days before that if it ain't broke, don't fix it, because Volpe was looking like an all-star in the bottom half of the lineup. I think he can still continue to hit and see pitches and work walks and hit homers and do his thing. But Aaron Boone selling us on that move being for Gleyber Torres because Gleyber Torres was pressing and they're trying to get Gleyber Torres going. I don't care about that. You decided Gleyber Torres would be the leadoff hitter, and then you decided that he wouldn't be after three series and two games. 877-337-6666. So Judge knows he's got to get right. Judge knows it's the worst start of his career. Judge knows we're relying on him. And when it comes to Juan Soto, and I saw you Yankee fans getting really upset with Sal Licata. Shout out to Sal. I listen to BT and Sal. First thing in the morning when I get up, I turn on BT and Sal. And Sal is great. He's great at getting under a lot of you guys' skin. And I think a lot of you guys think I'm supposed to come on and counter Sal. And I'm not. I actually agreed with him. Sal, S-A-L, say anything loud, and you guys hear it. Sal basically said Juan Soto working a walk there wasn't good enough. He should be trying to get a hit. Now, if you remember how the at-bat went, right, the guy wasn't throwing strikes. Soto puts his hand up, and time doesn't get called, and then that's a ball, whatever. He was going to work a walk. It's Juan Soto. But as a fan of the New York Yankees, watching that game, seeing Judge struggle, I wanted Soto to swing the bat. I wanted him to try and do some damage there. I wanted him to apply some pressure, hit the ball, score some runs. He did it earlier in the game. He put bat to ball and Volpe motored home. I didn't trust Judge in that moment. How strange is that as a Yankee fan? In that moment, I'm like, no, it's Juan Soto who's got to get it done because Judge is ice cold. So working a walk there didn't do it for me. Working a walk there, I'm like, now it's on Judge's shoulders. We don't have any more outs. It's not the eighth inning. It's not the seventh inning. And Judge is going to either strike out or pop out, and that's going to be the game. And that's exactly what happened. He popped out to center, and that was it. And the Yankees lose, but they won the series, and it's fine. You tip your cap to the Marlins, right? The Marlins fighting for their second win of the season. And the Yankees go on the road, and they'll face the Guardians, who are also in first place, also only have three losses. But they had the opposite effect last night. They walked off some bums they played against. They played against the 2-10 White Sox, found a way to walk them off. So it sets up for a good matchup away from Yankee Stadium. And Yankee Stadium is alive and well. I love it. If I saw you at the three games that I went to in these first six, shout out to you. I appreciate the love. I feel the love. I've been in that stadium hundreds of times. There is a buzz that feels almost postseason-like in April, which is great. And I say that to say this. The hype is real. And everybody is not the same kind of Yankee fan. I think you've heard me on The Fan say no one person could be the voice of Yankee fans because there's too many different kinds of Yankee fans. There's some smart baseball Yankee fans that are really locked in. Like when Derek Jeter talks about these fans watch every pitch, they follow every day, they know everything. Then there's also some dumbasses. There's some dumbasses that go to the stadium and they chant Altuve's name. And there's also some that get drunk and don't care about the score, and they do the wave. And those same clowns know that the most popular section is section 203, home of the bleacher creatures, and they want to go and start a second roll call. And I'm just like, man, this has gone too far. The creatures have gone mainstream so much to the point that everybody wants to be a creature. Well, from what I understand with the bleacher creatures, going back to section 39, and I'm blessed to have stumbled upon these people and learned the history of these people and be called one of these people. And not even now, I can't even claim. I'm in the media now. I walk in through the media entrance. I'm in legends. I don't even get to the bleachers all the time. And when I go, it's paparazzi. It's can I get a selfie? I can't even really chill with the gang. But there are a group of people that sit there every single game and they show up every game. Old, young, it's been passed down. It is a family, a fraternity. And they kind of keep order over the section. But it's a public place. Anybody can go on StubHub, SeatGeek, Yankees.com and buy a ticket to sit in section 203 and do what they want. But it has changed. I blame social media because social media, people just want to get things for Instagram and TikTok. And I also just look at where we are in society right now. Like, I don't know, everybody wants to jump on and everybody wants to fake it and be a part of something. Like, and that's from the internet where you can fake it. But shout out to the actual creatures. I want to bring Mark on because I was listening to some of the afternoon show. Of course, they're trying to decipher what goes on in 203. Call me up, guys. You got my number. Lugie, Morash, whoever, could just dial Keith McPherson up. You have a nighttime host who's sat out there for 40 games in a season. Before I ever spoke on WFAN, I spent a lot of time in 203. I spent a lot of time with the Creatures, not just at Yankee Stadium, before the games, at barbecues, at Christmas parties, at birthday parties that have nothing to do with Yankee Stadium. Shout out to Chico. Shout out to Tina. Shout out to Bald Vinny, who I was laughing. Bald Vinny hasn't entered the stadium in like 10 years. Bald Vinny came to visit me in the fan cave in 2014. BV's out there hustling, doing his thing outside Billy's. He doesn't lead the Bleacher Creatures. My guy Mark does that. So when you see Yes Network pull up and put the videos out of the roll call, that's Mark. I'm going to have Mark call in to let you guys know what was going on. I've had Brendan Cuddy on this show, and a tweet was sent my way last night. I woke up this morning, and BK was talking about, oh, the Bleacher Creatures are doing a second roll call. No, the hell they're not. They're watching the game. They barely say, let's go Yankees. I also saw some stuff about, oh, the Bleacher Creatures are the ones chanting F. Altuve. No, they're not. They're the ones trying to dead that. And I put a tweet out today saying we need to do some type of a behind-the-scenes documentary. The Bleacher Creatures are not mythical creatures. This is something that has been passed down through years and years of old Yankee Stadium to new Yankee Stadium. Fans that have been in that section that have become family that coordinate the roll call. I got to do the roll call. I got to lead the roll call, rather. I don't know if I'll do that again. Like I said, I don't feel like that's my place being a media person, but like I think it's time that we draw a line between people going to sit in 203 and pretend they're down with the gang and people who are actually there and have put in the time. 877-337-6666. You know who's about to put in the time? This Ipe Mizuwara. Shohei Ohtani is innocent, huh? What did I tell you when I first got on air to talk about Shohei? They are going to protect him. I don't care what you think, what I think. Manfred dragged his feet to even say they were investigating it. And now Ipe Mizuwara is charged. He's going to plead guilty to federal theft, bank fraud. Like, how? Now I don't even care about Ohtani because I knew he was going to be protected. He's a unicorn. He's the golden goose. He makes way too much money for Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, Japan, himself. There's no way they were going to treat him like Pete Rose, as so many people were jumping to. But this Ipe guy, his longtime friend and confidant, his interpreter, he's going to go to jail, right? Supposedly, he changed all of the information where Ohtani wouldn't get alerted. Let me see. He transferred more than $16 million from Ohtani's account to a legal sports book. You know, they're doing the investigation now, and I don't know. All I'll say is I don't believe it, but it doesn't matter what I believe. It's the way the system is set up. It's the way things go. It's just, you know, some people are bigger than the system. Some people are more powerful. And I was too young to remember the whole O.J. Simpson thing. I think I was 5 in 93. I know of it from the FX show. I know of it from things in pop culture. Like Jay-Z had a song, Story of O.J. Kanye had a line, since OJ had Isotoners, I think that's the brand of the gloves. The Kardashians are linked to Johnny Cochran. And, you know, I just know the pop culture aspect of the Ford Bronco and the chase. And I was listening today to the guys and Tiki talk about how the thing with OJ was that he beat the system and black men don't beat the system. I'm too young to speak on it, but OJ Simpson died today. And I know that there are mixed feelings on that. I know we're going to take calls on that, and we should, because he is sports-related, right? That's how he became famous, a Heisman Trophy winner, a running back in the NFL. I most recently was looking at him on a sports talk show called It Is What It Is, hosted by Cam'ron and Mace. He was zooming in and giving his takes. I don't know when he stopped doing that, but he was doing it over the last year or so. That's the first thing I thought when I saw O.J. Simpson pass. I didn't even know he was sick. What I don't want to do tonight is to get in the back and forth about race and get in the back and forth about was he guilty, wasn't he guilty. The man is dead. And I just don't want to take any calls disparaging the dead. You don't have to say rest in peace, O.J. Simpson. I haven't, but we can acknowledge that his life is over. And I will take calls on it because, like, I'm too young to speak on it. I don't remember what that time was like. Like I said, I watched the FX special on it, and I think there was another documentary on it. I was too young at the time to know, but I understand the cultural impact and what it meant for the United States. So, you know, taking your calls on all those things, man. Mets, Yankees, Shohei Ohtani, O.J. Simpson, and you know what I wanted to do? I spoke a little bit last night. And it's crazy. They say death comes in threes. I might be missing the third, but we lost someone that worked here. We lost someone that had been on the airwaves in New York City like I am right now. And I did not get a chance to meet this man. And I regret it because the first time I ever spoke on WFAN, wherever he was, he called me. And all I saw was Calvin Brooklyn Mets. And I went to him and just said, hey, Calvin from Brooklyn, you're on the Fan. And I come to find out seconds into that call that it's DJ Mr. C. So again, RIP DJ Mr. C. We're going to break right here. But when we come back, I want to play the call that DJ Mr. C made to my audition night, August 25th, 2021 on the Fan, just to kind of give me a boat of confidence, a boost. And something crazy happened to me today, the day after we lose Mr. C. I met Tony Page today, and you've heard me bring Tony Page on this show if you've listened over the last few years. DJ Mr. C talked about Tony Page in that first call into my first night on the Fan. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Shout out to everybody I saw in Patterson. It was great to meet Pat Battle. I was on NBC News 4 tonight talking about the Negro League Baseball Museum that exists, the Charlie J. Muth Museum that exists in Patterson next to Hinchcliffe Stadium, the restored Negro League ballpark. Shout out to the mayor, Andre Saye, and everybody that I saw out there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here in Patterson, it was great just to see everybody celebrating a literal field of dreams, and now a museum that will stand to educate people on the Negro Leagues of baseball and the history. And I was proud to be a part of that today. We'll try to get the mayor in. We'll try to bring Mark, who leads the roll call from the Bleacher Creatures, in, and we will play the call from Mr. C the first time I spoke to him and only time I ever spoke to him, calling in to my show. I hope I've done what he had hoped I would do here on the Fan. 877-337-6666. It's a 5 hour KM to AM. You've got me till 12. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. On the 444 album, Jay-Z put that track out, and he basically talked about how OJ felt like he wasn't black. He was OJ. He was above being black. And That's one of the first things I thought about today, right? OJ beat the system. Well, you can't beat the Reaper. Can't beat death. That's promised. And coincidentally not enough, I talked about that last night. There was a part of my show last night where I was talking about Mr. C and my regret of not going to get him, not going to find him. He was popping into here to work in this building at 94.7 The Block. And, you know, he did me a solid and called into my show and I followed him and we interacted online back and forth. But I felt like I should have taken the next step to go introduce myself, go out of my way to find him. And now I can't do that. And so my message last night late, one of the last things I said on the fan in the 1 o'clock hour was, man, live your life. Go get it. Tomorrow is not promised. Can we play the call from Mr. C on my audition night, August 25th, 2021? I'm thinking I'm probably one and done. I tried my best to just qualify myself and say everything about myself that people could know that got me to this point, why I even got to the radio. I'm not someone that worked here. I'm not someone that interned here. I didn't work in here for a decade. I put in my work in New York City outside this building, and it hit Mr. C. Mr. C called, and this is what he said on that night. To talk about the Mets. Calvin from Brooklyn, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Calvin from Brooklyn, otherwise known as DJ Mr. C. And and I got in my car a couple of hours ago, and I heard you talk some DJ talk. And I said, let me call in because I am a faithful fan listener. I've been listening to the fan since 1999. And I rarely get to hear any air personality on the fan talk about DJs. So that's what made me first call in. So I want to salute you for talking about DJs. So that's the first thing I want to do is salute you on that. I don't know much about you, but I started doing some research about you as I got in the car and driving and doing some research about you. And I just see that you're really out here doing your thing. And without going too far into over the past, as a 55-year-old black man that's been listening to the fan since 1999, it is good to hear a person of color to be on the station. So I want to salute you for being on today. And just remember that you are following a trend of people like Tony Page and others that has been on the fan that represented our nationality. And even though there's not many of us that has been represented on air, especially on the fan, and I have nothing against that. I love the fan. Like I said, I've been listening to the fan since 99, but it really hasn't been that many people of color that's been on the fan. So I want to tell you, man, to just keep doing your thing and just represent us well. And you're doing great tonight.
Yeah, that's heavy. That's crazy. RIP Mr. C. Another Black History Spotlight on the fan. What are the chances that today I meet Tony Page? I've had Tony Page on the show. I've had his phone number. We've talked on the phone multiple times, text multiple times. Just never ran into him, never tried to set anything up. And today I woke up, slept for like 6 hours, 3:30 to 9:30, got up, showered, had some coffee, drove out to Paterson, New Jersey for the ribbon cutting at the Charles J. Muth Museum at Hinchcliffe Stadium. And I'm looking into the crowd, and who do I see? Tony Page. So shout out to TP. Got to talk to him for a while today. Got to take a nice little picture with him today. I put it on my Twitter. It's not on my Instagram yet, but the universe never unconnects. That's something that you hear me say. That's a phrase of mine. You know, everything happens how it's supposed to in God's perfect time. I feel like everything is written already. We're just walking the path day by day that we're in and walking towards our destiny. You can choose the wrong path and, you know, meet the wrong destiny. But yeah, just wanted to take the time out to play that call and to give a shout out to Tony Page, who I met today, and to the folks out in Paterson. Now let's start taking the calls, because that's what we're supposed to do here. We're 35 minutes in. Somebody's like, it's 35 minutes in. Take a call. Let's go to Joe in Old Bridge, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Joe? Thanks for holding.
Thank you, Keith. Before I start, I just want to really congratulate you. I think you're doing a marvelous job speaking to us, you know, almost every day, and you're fantastic. So I think you're making really good stride in what you do.
Working on it. Thank you, sir.
Second point, I just want to make two points that you have. I want to confirm what you're saying. Volpe, for sure, it's too soon. It's too soon. That spot belongs to somebody who's super consistent. Second point I want to make is Judge. So Judge is batting fourth, right? The fourth spot has to be, I don't care that he hits 50 home runs or 60 home runs.
Judge is batting third.
If he hits 30, 35, I'm good. But he has to hit key moments. If he has bases loaded, you got to get a hit. I don't care if it's a slap. I don't care if it's a base hit. I don't care. I don't care if he walks. He's good for walking, but you got to get it done when the time comes.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to.
We can give him credit for all the walks that he's worked, but this is Aaron Judge. You're supposed to hit home runs. You're supposed to hit doubles. You're supposed to strike fear into the opposing pitcher's heart, where he can't do anything but throw you a strike that you mash, and he hasn't had it. Now, going back to Volpe, what you said about, you know, that's supposed to be somebody consistent. We don't have that person. We don't have them. It was going to be DJ LeMahieu. He got hurt. Then they pivoted to Gleyber Torres. He's not a leadoff hitter. He's not been consistent. So there's another argument that I even had with a caller last night. They're like, Volpe's the guy. What are you talking about? You want to, you know, they listed whatever Gleyber's hitting and his on-base percentage. You want that guy leading off? No, I don't. But the Yankees decided he would be the leadoff hitter from opening day till now. So stick with it. While Volpe is still showing us that he's changed his stance, his bat path, that he's seeing pitches more. He is 22 years old. I felt like they just accelerated and just said, all right, we'll put him there. And I don't know if he's locked into there. I would like him to just stay there now, but I also don't want to see him struggle and get moved around. Or, you know, the Yankees love to change the lineup. It's just like their favorite thing to do. Can we get some consistency? You change one part of the lineup, it affects the whole lineup, and you're wondering why it's 4-0 against the Marlins for a while last night.
Right. I would have just liked to see a few more games win and win, you know, dominantly before making the move.
12 games in, you're like, all right, yeah. It makes me feel like they've listened to outside noise and outside pressure like they did in 2022, where it's like, oh, well, we told you IKF is one of the best fielding shortstops in baseball, but we're going to bring Oswald Peraza up, a rookie, completely unproven, to play against the Houston Astros in the ALCS. What? And then they changed the lineup a bunch of times in that postseason. Harrison Bader leading off. He's not a leadoff hitter. The Mets bat him ninth. Like, I don't know. It frustrates me as a fan because they're supposed to know better. They're supposed to be the smart guys, and they pretend to be the smartest guys in the room. So then don't listen to us. Don't listen to the fans. Don't listen to the analysts. Don't listen to the commentators. And I feel like that's what they just did.
And I have to agree with you. But you know what? I think that the Yankees are going to do well this year. And they are.
They are doing well right now. It's not that serious. It's just one loss and an off day, and we need something to talk about. I hope that Volpe continues to play at an all-star level. But for me, I'm like, that's why the phrase, and I don't even like the phrase, because now, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't broke. They fixed it. They put him as the leadoff hitter. And I'm like, well, what if he doesn't continue his pace now? I was already voting for this guy as the AL shortstop in the 2024 All-Star game down in Texas. What if now he has to face everybody's starting pitcher first? What if it doesn't work out, where it's like maybe you press that button too soon?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to keep my cool. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to just give it a little bit more time.
10-3, baby. First place Yankees. First place Yankees.
Yes, I'm going to enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment.
Thanks for the call, Joe. 877-337-6666. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I have enjoyed the games. I'm pulling up to the game with a beware of dog sign. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm barking like Verdugo. The day that I brought the beware of dog sign, I get on TV. Verdugo hits the homer. The stadium's going nuts. It was so much fun. They haven't lost a series. But, like, I felt like they got cute. Why get cute the last game of the Marlins series? Just stay with the same lineup. And then my other gripe was, where's Oswaldo? Okay, because we're facing left-handed pitching, whatever. Like, I'm like, all right, John Birdie facing his former team. His, you know, he's getting him acclimated to Yankee Stadium third base. But I'm like, Oswaldo gave you a spark. Oswaldo has been with this team. John Birdie has been with this team for 2 weeks. And now all of a sudden, you go through a whole series without putting Oswaldo in the lineup. That's not right, in my opinion. That's not fair to that kid who helped you win games, right? You can't sweep the Marlins, but you were able to sweep the Houston Astros in a four-game set, not a three-game set, with Oswaldo Cabrera in the lineup every day. Stop getting cute. What's going on? Josh is in the Bronx where the Yankees were playing. What's up, Josh?
I'm telling you, Keith, man, you are hitting every point right. Come on, take me out to the ball game. We got a lot left on everything. Regarding that Twitter, it's Josh in Bronx 10454 now, okay? Give you that.
Got it.
And also, you know, just keep on chugging along, man. I'm agreeing with you everything.
Josh N, is it alive. Josh N, like I-N, or Josh, just the letter N, Bronx?
B-N-X.
So Josh, Bronx, 10.
Josh, and B-N-X 10454, the zip code.
Got it.
Okay. I sent you a couple of tweets. You'll be able to pick them up.
I know. My Twitter's been going nuts. It's hard to even, like... decipher.
Okay, thank you, Keith, because after I called you early in the week, you were saying something, you know, I deactivated it and everything, but it's back on now.
Appreciate you, Josh. Josh showed up to the T-Mobile event that I did with Cecil Fielder and Paul O'Neill for WFAN the night before opening day, and it was just great to see him. Even Zoo's looking at me like, you met him? Yeah, it's great to meet somebody who calls in during my open like 90% of the time. It's just great to break that wall down and meet so many of you guys. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the love. It's real. It, like, Yankee fans, fans of the fan, people I've been able to connect with over these last 3 years. Like, the Yankees are good. We're all having a good time. It's all good. You know, we're not really worried about Volpe. We're not really worried about Judge because they're winning. But these are conversations you have as a Yankee fan. That's why I said, like, Jeter, when Jeter was on Drink Champs, he talked about the Yankee fans are the best fans in the world. Why? Because they care. Every day, we wake up and go to sleep thinking about this team. We think we're the manager of this team. You know, shout out to the manager, Aaron Boone, with his first ejection. He said he wasn't going to get ejected as much, but he had to. You know, that was my other take. Yankees versus the umps. As I watch these first four series, it's like these umps have an agenda against the Yankees. Like, oh, don't let them show you up. When you get out there, make sure they know you're in charge. Juan Soto's going to look back at you. Verdugo's going to say something to you. Gleyber Torres is going to check your strikes on. Make sure you go out there and you don't get ran over by the Yankees and their fans. No, just call balls and strikes as correctly as you can. We need the robo-umps. 2 years ago, we needed them. 3 years ago, after the pandemic year, I was like, 2021, we need the robo-umps. All right, more Yankees talk and something I wanted to clear up. Section 203, home of the bleacher creatures. Section 39, they were doing this long before I stumbled into this section and drank enough beers with the gang where I started to see the same people over and over and over again. For people that don't know about me, I started going to the stadium by myself a lot in like 2017. I got tired of asking people to go with me. I'm from the Shore area where I started working at MTV in 2015, and I would take the bus up from exit 109 to Port Authority. And during the Yankee season, instead of going right back home on the bus, I would go to Yankee Stadium and then go take the bus back home. Sometimes not get home till whatever time, didn't care. Just was a little bit younger and an obsessed Yankee fan. And all I needed was the cheapest ticket to get in the building. And I would find my way to 203. I would always want to get into the roll call. I would always want to just be in a section where guys are talking about the Yankees, cracking jokes, having fun, giving opposing teams fans a hard time. And then not before long, I actually broke through and met the actual creatures in 2017. And then you start going to the game and you have these people's phone number and there's group chats. And then that's what I said before, it grew into like the same group of people. Now, you know, shout out to Rob who's texting me. Rob has hosted barbecues at his house. I know Tina and them always set up the Christmas party at Yankee Tavern. Before I ever said a word on WFAN, I got with the gang. So Mark is on the line. Is Mark on the line? You called Mark in. Mark is on the line right now. And when you see those videos go out from opening day of the roll call and you see Yankees baseball and you hear, hey, yo, Aaron, Mark is the guy leading the way. It's not Bald Vinny. Bald Vinny passed the honor down to him. Same way the, you know, the cowbell man, you might have heard the show with Milton from Brooklyn that I did. That honor was passed down to him. What I'm trying to tell you guys is this is a group of people that really exists, an organized group of Yankee fans that are the core and heartbeat of Yankee fans. And when I see these goofy Yankee fans try and join in, I'm like, someone has to clear this up for everybody. And look at me. I end up having the platform to do so. Without further ado, the leader of the roll call in the middle of the bleachers, my guy Mark on the Fan. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's long overdue because I remember when Milton was on, I was like, we got to find a time to bring you in. And here's the time. Thanks for making the time. And last night, you could hear it on the TV, and I didn't even care because I knew it was not. I just know what goes on. I can hear certain things. There was a second roll call chanting of players' names, Juan Soto mania, whatever. Can you describe from your vantage point, and you're someone that goes to every single game, leads the roll call, and understands what I'm saying about, like, there's actual creatures who know how we kind of do it out there versus other people just joining the section. Can you describe what went on last night and clear it up for any of the reporters? Like my guy BK was like, oh, there's a second roll call going on in the seventh or eighth inning. No, there was not.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. The roll call is in the first inning and the first inning only. It's become basically one of those things that happens at every Yankee game that should only happen once a game. Like, imagine doing the national anthem a second time in the third inning, or take me out to the ball game in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, or having a
God bless America person after the eighth.
Yeah, or hey, let's do the first pitch again. It was not us. It was people one section over that I think were a little over enthusiastic. Look, yeah, we are all Yankee fans and I get that, but the roll call itself, that really is something that was created by the Bleacher Creatures dating back almost 30 years now. And it's kind of our thing. And when it gets done a second time, it's just people kind of hopping on a trend that they didn't create. And it just comes off, it kind of dilutes it. And it's also a little confusing for the players, if you think about it, because they're expecting it in the first inning, but in the seventh inning, they're like, what the heck is going on here? So, you know, it's out of respect for our section, you know, it really should be us doing the roll call, and it should only be in the first inning.
But there is no respect anymore. Mark, that's the thing. That's why I said I blame the internet. No one has respect for anyone anymore. And like you said with the players, the players acknowledge the roll call, right? Judge does the Guardy flex. Volpe kisses the NY logo. They're not doing that in the seventh inning.
No, you know, it was described very well that it was kind of like sheepish. It's like, it was also not appropriate. We weren't even winning. Now, there's a difference if, say,
we're up eight runs.
What I'm saying is, like, let's say a substitution comes in. Like, Aaron Judge wasn't playing for the first seven innings, and then he comes in the eighth. Then maybe we might do a later roll call just for him, just to say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, in the case of that, you know, we're all Yankee fans, so we're all rooting for the team. There's definitely a high energy going on. But my thinking is, do something original. You don't need to do what we do. Do what you do. And I always say that the Bleacher Creatures innovate, other people duplicate. And, you know, that's why the roll call was copied by the Dodger fans.
Texas Rangers last year.
Rangers. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, God bless. But, you know, ultimately, the roll call belongs in the first inning and it starts in 2:03, whether I'm in the stadium or not. It's not me. The roll call belongs to the stadium.
Whoever is appointed to do it, whether it is Jaden, whether it's Deshaun, a couple of years back, I did it 1 year, and that stuff is decided before we get to the stadium.
It is. It is. You know, obviously, I do handle the majority of them, but I'm not there every game. I am there maybe 60 games, and that's why we have great guys like Jaden to help us with the roll call. But the roll call really should stay in the first inning. It's like repeating the punchline of a joke multiple times. If you keep doing it, it loses its luster. And I don't want to discourage the enthusiasm of other Yankee fans. Not at all. But the roll call is kind of like almost like a sacred thing now. It's just become a Yankee tradition, and it belongs in 2:03 and in the first inning only.
Well, through the power of WFAN, I think a bunch of Yankee fans are hearing us talk about it. So hopefully no young, goofy Yankee fans that sit in 202 try to pull up and duplicate that. Tell the folks about Bald Vinny and how Vinny does not come into the stadium anymore and how the honor of leading the roll call was passed on to you.
Yeah, just to make a minor correction from what you said in the beginning, it was actually Tina who passed down the roll call to me when Vinny
respect
retired.
To the queen. Respect to the queen.
I always respect to Tina the queen. I can't ever thank her enough. I consider doing the roll call the biggest honor I've been given as a Yankee fan. And I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, and I stumbled onto the bleachers in 1999. And, you know, I've seen so many great things with so many great people. You know, I would never be anything where I am without the people who did it before me, people like Tom Brown, people like Milton, the Cowbell Man, and, of course, Tina, who
shout out to Tom. Shout out to Tone. Shout out to Chico. Shout out to everybody,
yes,
man.
All of them. All of them. Thank you for mentioning these names. And, by the way, shout out to you because you're part of this, too. You know, the definition of a bleacher creature is actually whatever Tina says, you're a bleacher creature. And I think you have passed her test. You know, she's available to call in.
I remember when Tina asked me, who are you? Back when there were hard copy tickets. She was passing out hard copy tickets to get in the stadium. And she's like, yeah. Who are you? I'm like, I'm Keith. I'm good. I don't need a ticket.
Yeah. Well, look, she is the absolute best. And, you know, and she is the guardian of all things bleacher creature. She is the heavy artillery when we need her. She's, I mean, without her, I always say, you know, to borrow a quote from Reggie Jackson, Tina is the straw that stirs the drink in the section. And, you know, roll call wouldn't be the same without her. I wouldn't be doing the roll call without her. Milton wouldn't be ringing the cowbell without her. The section wouldn't even exist without her. So, you know, you can't give her enough credit. And out of respect for all of that, we just simply and respectfully ask all the Yankee fans, leave the roll call in the first inning, do something different. And you're also right, we are not the people doing the Altuve chant.
No, I was there the first time that rang out, 10% capacity. I was in the bleachers when Altuve came out for warm-ups, and we did it, and it just started. Like, we were doing it as a joke. We had the trash cans. I remember security taking our trash cans and our signs, but then people that weren't at the stadium because they were afraid of COVID or whatever heard us do it on TV, and it has been going on for years. We can't get it out, even with the wave. You literally say to everybody, we do not do the wave here, as like a disclaimer at the end of the roll call. And the wave still goes around. It happened a few nights ago. It is what it is. You can't control everybody.
No, you know, we have to do our PSAs. And, you know, one of the things we don't like about the wave is that it's distracting to the players. And I think a seventh inning or a later roll call is also distracting to the players. You know, the first inning is when it's expected. So, you know, it's not they know it's coming. They're ready for it. But then it's like the seventh inning, like yesterday, or the fourth inning or whatever, and they're like, why are they doing this again? And just to get it on the record, we're not. The bleacher creatures are not doing the roll call twice.
Mark, you're the man. I'll text you. Thanks for the call, man. Shout out Becky and Millie, man. Shout out my boy Jay Schmies. Shout out all the creatures. Patches. RIP Ali Ramirez, like, it's deeper than you guys realize. I'm going to work on doing, like, some kind of documentary behind the scenes on who these people are, how I met them. Like, it goes way further back than me, but it's time that the bleacher creatures hit the surface, and it's time for us to take a break. 877-337-6666. Got my eyes on the Knicks game. We got to go to the update and all that. Keith McPherson rocking with you for another 4 hours. BRB.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.